Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I think there are walls of fame in these call centers, and I think your picture is on it. Can you imagine the conversation that in? I got Kornheiser. Oh, my God. Everybody, listen, listen. And everybody listens in, and they just try to see how long it takes.
Am I being unreasonable in saying that I had said to the first person, I just want to make sure, here's my number, just kick it over now.
Right.
And I was told it would kick over now, and it didn't, and it hasn't kicked over yet.
I think after today, it probably will.
I think you gave your credit card to a stranger.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All right, it feels like it's going to rain in Washington, D.C. today, where we are at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. We're joined by Gary Braun, Matt Kelleher, whose work I admire enormously.
Former regular contributor to the Tony Kornheiser
Matt
Show.
Matt Kelleher is on the show today. Right. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is running the board. We have a sparse crowd at the moment.
Yeah, no one comes here anymore. You know, it's too crowded.
On Monday, we had an enormous crowd. Yesterday, we had nothing.
Well, we'll build. Monday was a holiday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a holiday.
I've been telling you, if someone like Matt is going to be here, you have to promote it. People will come out to see Matt, but
How would I promote it?
Well, yesterday you could have said, come on out for breakfast tomorrow, Matt Kelleher.
What about flyers on the telephone poles?
Could have done that.
You could do that.
I completely forgotten.
Robocalls?
Traditional media.
Yeah.
We could have done that. We're going to start with something that we don't devote a lot of time to on this show, and that is soccer. We don't devote a lot of time to it because I don't care about it. I mean, I don't. My child, who I love dearly, who is sitting here, was in one. Do you want to tell your one soccer game story?
I signed up for Stoddart Soccer, the local soccer league here. That's not very good, I think, compared to the soccer leagues that the Kelleher children and the Braun children play in.
Well, they play on travel teams. They're
good. I showed up to one game.
Different levels. The Kelleher kid is on like the Bethesda's Academy team, which is like he's like on the national. If U.S. still had a soccer program, which they may not. He's on that track.
Long story short, I showed up to one game, looked at the field, the rest of the team, and asked to leave.
Yeah.
Bring me to the nearest baseball field.
My ability to
About 30 seconds, a couple of tears, and we said, okay,
is my ability
sober.
To hit a baseball going to help me out here?
It's over.
Okay, never mind. No.
He didn't like running, and he didn't like seeing all these other kids
run.
I was
a first baseman.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so here we go. The United States lost the ability to get into the World Cup last night by losing at Trinidad and Tobago by a 2-1 score. The last time they were out of the World Cup was 1986. That's a long time ago, 1986. That's 31 years ago. The World Cup is next year, so it'll be 32 years from out to out as far as that goes. I cannot have been more wrong on this. I believe I'm joined by 99% of the people in the United States who cannot have been more wrong about this. My entire look at soccer in this hemisphere is based on population theories. We have 350 million people in the United States of America, and I would guess that 20 million kids play soccer. That's going to be more than the amount of kids in Trinidad and Tobago who play soccer, even if every kid in Trinidad and Tobago plays soccer, because they got 1.3 million population total. Which means that Greater Jacksonville, and that is, you shouldn't say Greater Jacksonville, that doesn't really work. But Greater Jacksonville, with a population of 1.4 million, is larger than all of Trinidad and Tobago.
Wow.
We played this game in a city that is not the capital. We played it in a stadium. Gary, how would you describe what the stadium looked like?
I mean, if your kid goes to a large high school in this area, the stadium where they play is bigger. This is a one-level stadium, maybe 20 rows deep, 25 rows.
How many people do you think were there? 2,000?
Yeah, that's
about that.
Right.
Yeah, I would say packed 5,000.
Wasn't packed.
It was not half full.
It's the national team.
And the quality of the field, it should be pointed out. Let me just say, George Tomo was not taking care of that field, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, they had 90 straight days of rain, and until yesterday afternoon, there was a moat around the field.
That's right.
And the moat was so deep that literally the American players were carried piggyback so they wouldn't get their precious little feet
in
the water.
They didn't want to get their boots wet.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things that they didn't want to do.
Maybe if they had been wet, they'd have gone down easier and you wouldn't have choked on them. So maybe they should have wet the shoes.
So I would tell you this is a disaster and you would say you know nothing about soccer, but Bob Lee, the general, Bob Lee, citing not my population theory but his own population theory, said on SportsCenter overnight, You cannot overestimate what a disaster this is for the United States. And who's the guy you like?
Taylor Twellman.
Crushed him.
Killed him. Yes.
And we haven't heard from Lallis
yet.
We haven't. Lallis today.
Right.
Lallis today. We are excited to hear from Alexi Lallis.
The Wonder Boy scored a goal.
He did. Pulisic. He scored our only goal.
Correct.
So Bruce Arena, who I defend all the time because he's a Long Island boy, H. Frank Carey High School, Cornell University.
Former coach of the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah. He was. I thought he was doing well. Well, he was the former coach at one point. He may be the former coach again.
Right.
I thought he was doing well. They beat Panama 4-0.
That's right.
You two know something about soccer because your children play. This is ridiculous, is it not? Is this the worst loss ever suffered by any American team ever?
Yeah, with what was at stake, I think so. My question, how is Jurgen Klinsmann? How's he doing today?
He's happy. He's grinning. He's saying, give me a piece of Wilbon today.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they were playing a team in Trinidad and Tobago, or is that two teams?
No, that's one team. It's like an
all-star team of Trinidad and Tobago.
Who had not yet won in the tournament.
They were the worst.
Who had nothing to play for, literally right. nothing to play
in
for,
the
other
region
than their home
that
crowd.
We're in, they are the worst team.
Right.
And, by record.
And the thing about it, that it had an oddly... DC sports catastrophe feel to it, in that they had the team had to do more than just lose to be knocked out of the tournament.
Right.
They also needed these other results. These other combination
results.
We
could have tied, by the way, and gotten in.
That's yes, right. Tie would
so
have gotten.
What
you
else
in.
Happened?
Well, Panama and Honduras had to win against Mexico and Costa Rica, the two best
who were
teams
better teams.
In the group.
Oh, because I thought Honduras is pretty good. They've been in the World Cup. They're
yeah,
pretty good
yeah,
team.
Yeah. But they're right. not as good as Mexico, who's been
and
the
we,
best
we
in the group.
We just tied right. them about a month ago. But both of those things that had to happen, and if you were watching it, they were constantly updating the other scores.
Yeah, they did a good job of
for
that,
about
actually.
Yeah, for about a half an hour or so, it was okay. Even if USA lost, it was okay.
Costa Rica was beating Panama 1-0.
And then we see now that the first goal that Panama scored shouldn't have counted. Never went in.
Did not go in the net.
I don't
they
know
mi-
much about soccer.
Right.
It seems to me that it's got to go into the net.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's no replay.
I mean, how many stories is this worth on PTI
it's
today?
It's worth a couple, I think. There's no video, VAR, video assistant review, in CONCACAF. They don't pay for it or use it.
Whereas they don't subscribe. They don't get
right.
destination
in other places
assist,
in the
like,
world, you might have been able to go to a replay, see that ball didn't go in, and say, you know what? Actually, Panama, you tied.
If you have not seen this goal.
They don't have replay?
Yeah.
They show you replays as a spectator, as a consumer of the sport, but they don't incorporate them in
goal,
the play.
On the, on the one or two goals that are scored in the 12 hours it takes to play a soccer game,
I cannot,
they don't even review them?
Cannot stress this enough, because I had not even seen this. I had been following the score and was watching the U.S. men's game last night. And they did not allude to that.
No, they did not.
I don't know why they didn't. So I didn't see it until this morning when Matt showed me. But if you have not seen it, soccer fan or not, Google the Panama Costa Rica goal that wasn't, and you can see the goal that ostensibly cost the U.S. their shot. And think about it. It's a soccer game. The ball does not go into the net.
It's
it does not
goal.
Go between the goalposts.
What do we got here? What do we got for America? What's going to happen?
Well, I think a lot of the...
Will they fire Arena?
Arena might have been a temporary guy already. Because it was a dissatisfaction with Klinsmann.
Right.
So I would say they'll move on to somebody else. For the sport, that's what happens when the soccer team loses. It's all about, the sport won't survive. The sport this, the sport that. Yes. I think that's a little overrated.
Sport will be fine.
The one thing is that the U.S. Soccer Federation won't get a lot of money. It's like missing out on the NCAA tournament.
Good.
So that'll hurt them.
Well, isn't there some sort of NIT that the U.S.
can
play in or
something
like that?
Yeah, the CBI, I think they're going to be in. And then, mostly I think it's that you don't get to watch. You know, the World Cup's more fun when the USA is in. You get to sort of focus your attention around the times
for the
they
first couple
play.
It's the only soccer I ever watch.
That's right.
It is. And I do watch it, and I'm thrilled by it when I watch it.
And we'll watch it anyway, but fewer will watch it.
Here's what I think is going
to
happen.
Bad for business. Bad for business. If they were playing, you'd have it on in here.
Yes.
Everyone would be coming in.
Oh, yes. Bad for chatter. It is bad for chatter. But so many things, including myself, are bad for chatter. I would say that people will overreact like crazy today.
Oh, yeah.
And I will be one of them.
How can you overreact? What do you mean? How can you overreact? It's worthy of whatever the reaction is.
Well, if the reaction was, it is so terrible and we will never, ever, ever, ever. I think that's probably wrong.
That's nonsense.
Well, two World Cups from now, we're hosting it. So you get in. That's an automatic bid. So lock us in for that. I don't think it's official.
This World Cup was in Russia. We didn't really want to go to Russia.
How do you think Fox is feeling about that?
Oh, yeah.
Very bad.
Yeah, not
bad. They spent a lot of money on this.
$250 million.
If you don't have... I think it was like
a quarter billion.
You're guaranteed three games, right?
Yes.
Each team is guaranteed three.
So that's if you make it.
Three big numbers.
But I will say
this. Can we petition to get in? Is there some secret way we can get in?
Yeah, we'll use diplomacy to get in.
We say with Russia.
Yeah, trade sanctions.
We're very rich. Let us in.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh.
We never win anymore.
Well, in soccer, we never won.
That's true.
We've never won. So that's why it doesn't. If this were basketball.
I'll say, as a casual fan, by your standards, maybe I'd even be more than a casual fan, but of course I root for the U.S. men's team. The most depressing thing about the game was just sort of the feel, like the effort, just tipped a buzzer. It had like this Redskins under Jay Gruden first quarter feel to it. It's just like totally. It came out and it was like they were not ready to play. They weren't. There was no. I know we hate the phrase. There was no sense of urgency. I mean, they got obviously very late. They started scrambling around, but it had a very Caps Nats feel to it. It did.
Bruce Arena had to yell at them from the sideline in his all black Johnny Cash outfit.
And by the way, you could hear him.
Yeah.
I mean you could literally hear the coach screaming like, "Come on, Panama's ahead, let's go!"
From Trinidad and Tobago, you could hear it.
And they were updating
without amplification, obviously.
He appeared to be updating them on the results that mattered.
Seemed to be totally poor leadership all the way around.
No pressure.
They talked early on about how closely the team was following the scores of the other games. But if they just
tied a tiny little nation,
they went in. And to be so obsessed with those scores, as it was being reported,
it's so great to hear you say that tiny little nation, because it means you've been indoctrinated into the population theory.
Iceland in the World Cup, by the way. You want to go tiny?
They've been before.
Not the World Cup. They were in the European Championship.
The Euro Cup. That was
good
the big
for
run.
Them. I'm glad for Iceland. But I can find it.
You got a number on them?
I can find it to under a million. I can find it to this hemisphere.
350,000.
Yeah, I combine it to this hemisphere.
Okay, yeah, sure.
There is another story. We did the national story first. The local story is much more interesting. The local story is that by virtue... providential virtue of the rainout in Chicago yesterday, the Nats get to pitch Steven Strasburg in Game 4 on full rest today, starting at 4 o'clock. They get to pitch a guy who carried a no-hitter through 5 innings in Game 1 and who performed beyond anything he had ever done before in a playoff game because he'd only been in one. And though the Nats lost that game, there's nothing at all bad that can be said, except by Steve Sands, about the performance of Steven Strasburg. So we're all thrilled, except for one thing. Steven Strasburg is feeling, and I quote the manager, under the weather. And he will not be starting today.
A lot of mold in Chicago.
In the win or go home.
In fairness, Chicago is hell on allergy sufferers this time of year.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you.
I didn't think people had allergies in Chicago. I thought everything
You've
in Chicago
got the air conditioning
was...
units.
I'd like to read this quote in the game story from Dusty Baker. A lot of my team is under the weather with the change of weather and the air conditioning in the hotel and the air conditioning here. It's just this time of the year for mold around Chicago. I think it's mold. I mean, I have it too. Mold. Scratched. Why? Mold. Mold. Do you think that Max Scherzer would scratch from this game, even having pitched the other day? I don't.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't, and it doesn't matter. No one was confusing Strasburg with Curt Schilling before, but this is a new
Maybe he'll
new
be
low.
Great in Game 5 if there is a Game 5. I have to tell you, I didn't expect this. How about you, Matt?
No, nobody expected it. Under the weather? In Boswell's story, they talk about no follow-up questions were asked of Dusty Baker.
Because they were so astounded.
Everyone was so stunned.
Picking their jaws up.
It doesn't help him that in the stories they talk about Scherzer marching into Dusty's office and saying, I'll give you an inning on 0 days rest, you know, if they played the game yesterday. It doesn't help.
Do you make? I don't want to be the one who has called him the orchid for a while. And this is not to say that if they win today, even though Tanner Roark has not been great this year, if they win today, he may come back in 5 and he may be great. He may be great. But
I just struggle with the notion, and we were texting about this last night when
Sands went nuts.
Oh, yes.
I just said, I don't understand. I mean, it's 7 o'clock on Tuesday. How can you say he's under the weather at 4 o'clock on Wednesday? I mean, give him an IV. Put him to bed. Maybe he wakes up in 10 hours and goes, you know what? I feel great. Well, it's just like the notion. I mean, you don't have.
Did Boz defend this?
He was almost defending it.
It started out like he was going to rip it, and then it never actually got to that part.
He just killed
Dustin. So look, if you're that sick, why do I think you're going to be able to pitch a good game five? And if I'm actually looking at this as a managerial choice for Dusty, trying to coax Joe Maddon to go heavy with lefties early, and then you want to try and bring in Gio to try and get them to burn a lot of their reserve players.
He's not Belichick-ing them. The miscommunication
by Dusty Baker is the biggest issue I have. If Strasburg actually can't pitch because he's sick, look, that shows something about his personality, but I can accept that. But sick, I need a clear message.
Sick.
This is
would game five
this is
be
the great
Friday?
Thursday.
We're going to go as planned with Tanner. We decided to stay with Tanner because, number one, he was slated. And even Boz writes, this, of course, is irrelevant. If Joe Blow is slated and Walter Johnson becomes available, Joe Blow ain't pitching. It's just, I mean, maybe there'll be a miracle cure. Maybe Dr. James Andrews, who's involved in everything all the time with his little redskin hat, will show up and give Strasburg a magic pill, and he'll be able to pitch.
Don't you think Dusty is sitting there going, what am I supposed to do with this? How can this guy not pitch? I mean, if you could get Dusty in an honest, candid moment.
In his Steve Sands moment?
He would throw his hands up and say, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. I have to back Roark. The other guy more or less said he can't go.
And I will say this about the other guy.
Rizzo quotes him as saying, Strasburg said, I'll give you what I got.
Right, that's why I said more or less.
So put him out there. What's he got?
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy you want to talk into doing it.
The problem with that is for a two-game series, if he gives you what he got and he goes out in two and you basically burn him for those two games, I understand it's a win-or-go-home situation, but they might actually think that they have a better chance putting Roark out for 4 or 5 innings, bring Gio in for two, three innings, and then you have what you consider to be a better rested Strasburg. What if Strasburg is actually really good for game five, and you bring in Scherzer for an inning or two?
Let me say, if that happens, great. If it doesn't,
winter.
We're not going to forgive this one soon.
We'll take a break. We'll have more baseball when we return. Richard Justice of MLB.com is with us. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Nigel, you have an Indochino suit. You love your Indochino suit.
I did. I wore it to the National Press Club. Yes, I have
very
two suits.
Nice.
I wore the black suit because, you know, I want to look nice.
Yes.
And I always look great in the Indochino suit. So, yes, I recommend them to anybody that needs a suit. Indochino is the place to go.
Indochino is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics. You can personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or another special occasion like the 4th Estate Award at the National Press Club. Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men, is now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. And here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. You place your order. You wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. Tony Kornheiser Show listeners, this high-quality pod, you can get Indochino's best deal ever at $359 for any premium suit when you enter the code TONYK during checkout. That is 50% off the regular price of a made-to-measure premium suit, and the shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, Indochino, Indochino.com. Promo code is Tony for any premium suit for just $359 and free shipping. I may do this. An incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The email comes in. My name is Jacob Masters. I'm a musician and a composer living in Los Angeles. Maybe he knows Jason Fuse. I started listening to the show as soon as it became a podcast, and I don't think I've missed an episode of PTI for over a decade. My dad is originally from D.C., turned me on to the show when I was in middle school. Now I'm a graduate of Wesleyan University. I watch it with him every day. We're both hopeless Skins fans. His best friend is Peter Melman. Well, Wilbon and I are tight with Peter Melman.
There you go.
And Wilbon actually filmed a happy birthday message for him when he turned 60. Attached is Wherever You Are, the debut single from my new solo pop music act, High School Jacob. Even though it might be a tad modern for your taste, it might skew towards that younger audience you're always talking about. and there's a music video. I have classical pieces as well. If you want to appeal to the littles born in the 1700s, I'm a huge fan. Thank you so very much. And again, at the end of any podcast, you can hear the entirety of the music that we play. He plays in Richard Justice of MLB.com. I mean, we just finished the open of the show. I'll get to everything. But what do you make of the Strasburg thing? What do you make of this?
Speaking of Peter Melman, we could use a yada, yada, yada this morning.
That's right. Yes.
It's almost like one of those Red Sox decisions in the 70s where one thing happened on the day of, then you find out it was another thing, then you find out it was another thing. If you're Steven Strasburg, you got to say, give me the ball. You have to say, give me the ball. I don't know why Dusty said what he did. He looks bad saying it. The organization looks bad. I hope he is really, really sick because, I mean, when you think of the great pitchers in this game and think of how Scherzer would approach it or Kershaw or back to Bob Gibson, you got to take the ball. It's your team. It's your organization. You have to want the ball, and you have to say, I'm going to be better than Jake Arrieta is today no matter what. It looks bad. And you know what? Nigel said yesterday, he says, they're in danger of becoming the Caps if they keep doing this. Well, now it's not just losing, you know, because I can make a justification for, Kershaw did this in the bullpen and all this. You look like you bumbled today.
You've spent a lot of time in Wrigley Field and in Vierns. Did you ever come down with mold poisoning and you weren't able to type, Richie?
Not able to type.
That ever keep you from typing? The mold?
The missing players in Chicago come down with a lot of things at times, but I'm not sure mold is one of them. But, no, you can't, you know, just stop. You know, just stop. Say, he's sick. He can't go. Okay, we hope to get him ready for Game 5. We love Tanner Roark.
Right.
You know, did he really mix up the days about the bullpen? Because when he said that, as Boz wrote, the media's there just like, wait, what? Let him throw a bullpen session?
Right.
I'm telling you, this is a bad day for the Nats, and young Tanner Roark has better go out there and get this thing back to Game 5 and let everybody redeem themselves. Otherwise, this is the kind of thing that can linger for a while.
Do you like the Nats' chances today? I don't. I don't.
No, I don't like the Nats' chances today. Jake Arrieta is one of the great competitors. Jake Arrieta would go out there on one leg, and they have all their other boys lined up to pitch today and to pitch the next game. I mean, it is. If you want to look at long odds, this is as long as it gets. But you know, and I think Barry wrote this. If they lose, it's going to be because the deepest lineup in the National League stopped hitting.
They just don't hit at all. The top five of the six guys.
I think you have to give the other team some credit for that. I went up to a player this summer, Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros, and talked about the hitting slump, and he looked at me and goes, you do know that's not a pitching machine out there. They are trying to get us out. So I do think you have to give the Cubs credit. The Cubs have the best record in the National League since the All-Star break. They are a very good team. You just got to look like you know what you're doing, though. That's part of it, too.
I will say this, and I know that the Cubs are really good and they're the defending champions, but if you take Zimmerman's production, which has been good, out of the top six Nats batters, an order that was the best hitting team in all of baseball, so you have Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, Jason Worth, and Anthony Rendon. Richie, they're 5 for 55 in this thing.
Right, and I went down and looked at all of it. Okay, I can explain maybe Harper a little bit. Trey Turner's a young guy. But Rendon is a pro. I mean, he's going to be top 3 or 4 in the National League MVP voting. No, there's no excuse. You have to do it when the stage is big and the light is bright. That's how you ultimately are measured as a major league player.
All right, so we'll get off that and we'll go to the other game that's of import, which will close out a series because it's 2-2. What are your thoughts on Indians-Yankees?
My thoughts are that the mojo is with CC Sabathia coming back to the place that shaped him from a boy to a man, and that he wants this so badly, and the Yankees have a certain karma. But in terms of big games, the Indians have maybe the most trusted big game pitcher in that league, certainly in that league, Corey Kluber. And he screwed up his first start, and he was giving the boys in the, on the bus one-word answers yesterday. It would be, if you're going to place a bet on it, you're going to bet on Corey Kluber, but it would be a pretty cool thing to see the Yankees come back from 0-2 with their manager being run out of town and all that goes with it, with Aaron Judge not hitting, all that goes with a manager making a mistake, and Joe Girardi made a mistake with by not challenging a hit batsman that would have essentially ended the game, mm-hmm. And then to come back and win from that, but... You know, there's a karma to Cleveland, Tony. It's important to what they've done, the 22-game win streak and all. And they're in the position you want to be in. They have their best guy going when the game means the most.
Do you think in any way, and I'm basing this on a conversation I had with Tim Kirkchin the other day, before the start of this series, that Tim said that Terry Francona was managing for the World Series, that he was setting things up with the assumption that he would get to the World Series. Is there any hubris in that? Did he rush Trevor Bauer in Game 4? Do you think the Indians are at all stunned by a Game 5? You know what I'm getting at. Have they overplayed their hand in any way?
Well, you mean he took an unconventional approach in starting Trevor Bauer in Game 1.
In 1. Did he rush him for 4? Was he on full rest for 4? Maybe he was.
I believe he's on his normal rest.
Okay.
He was on one day short rest, I believe. But he wanted Kluber to pitch. Basically, he wanted Kluber lined up for a possible 5 and then pitch Game 1 against the Astros.
Yeah.
I think he knows that, you know, Houston won 101 games. So I don't think he was looking ahead to the World Series. But I think I've felt this since the first day of spring training, this is the most complete team in baseball. You know, there are no weaknesses, but you have to go out and do it now, and that's why we love this stuff, Tony. That's why you and I have done what we've done for so long, because on the biggest stage you can be on in a kind of a career-defining moment, they're handing the ball to Corey Kluber and says, you got to get us where we want to go, buddy.
Yeah, no, I, the other part is the assumption. I think people have made this assumption that Cleveland, I think this is based for most fans on the fact that they won 22 or 24 in a row at one point late in the season. There's an assumption that they will beat Houston. I look at Houston and I think, wow, they're really good, and they got Justin Verlander, and they did that. You know,
right, so. And a lot of it is how you're playing. Both teams play great down the stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, and just go through everything, the rotation, the back of the bullpen. And right now, the Astros lineup, and maybe some of this is Boston pitching, is just relentless. I mean, it is the deepest. In fact, they're probably the only team really hitting in the postseason right now. It's a tough matchup. I mean, you're going to have. Their hope is Verlander, Keuchel in that order. Probably they'll start Keuchel in Game 1 on Friday, and go from there. So it's. I mean, no, I don't think Cleveland would look past them. I mean,
okay.
Look, when you've won 101 games, you get people's attention.
Right. All right. Let me. You alluded to this with Joe Girardi.
Right.
To me, when people make the playoffs, that usually means that their fans are happy, or their upper level management is happy. There are three guys that I think are in significant trouble to not return next year: Girardi, Farrell, and Dusty Baker. Right. I mean, and they're in the playoffs, and you don't usually see this.
Yeah, and I think John Farrell's dead man walking.
You do.
I love the guy. He's the only Red Sox manager to finish first 3 times. And I think he's good at pitching and all that, but that general manager, Dave Dombrowski, didn't hire him. And I think sometimes you feel like we just need a change of voice. Fans in New England never really liked this team this year. It was a different kind of team without Big Poppy. In an era when you got to hit the ball over the wall, they didn't do that. I would be the Yankees are so stable, and they take such pride in their stability, right from Hal Steinbrenner to Brian Cashman. I would be surprised if Girardi is not back. Now, Dusty, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why he hasn't been signed. He wasn't their first choice last time. And who makes the call? Does ownership make the call? Does Mike Rizzo make the call? All those things factor in. But, you know, if you lose this way, if you lose because you didn't give the ball to your main guy, or whatever is going on there, you look bad.
So just to reiterate then, if Strasburg actually threw a bullpen session yesterday, that is grounds for total dismissal of everybody.
And I don't think that happened.
Right.
If I'm Strauss today, I'm waking up, I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm going, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good today.
Let's pitch.
I think I'm going to go out and get it.
Yeah, okay.
Because, is he feeling, what is he feeling today? You know, he's not a guy that communicates much. But you have to go, look at all that Ryan Zimmerman has invested in this organization and Gio and those guys. You got to go get it. I mean, this is what you play for. This is why you sign those contracts. This is why those guys do what they do. You got to want it. You got to say, I'm going to be better than Jake Arrieta.
I'll get you out of here on this. The one team we haven't mentioned is the Dodgers. Does it look to you like they have righted the ship and they are the team that was great through the middle of the season?
Yeah, they have. The lineup is back to what it was. I mean, it's really deep, really scary. The bullpen's all fixed up. And then when you have Kershaw and Darvish and Rich Hill and those guys, you're better than anybody else. It was like when you're watching the Cubs through the year, even when they were stumbling around, you go, they're too good for this to last. So whoever they play, Cubs or Nats, probably, you know, looks like it's going to be the Cubs and Dodgers. That'll be a heavyweight fight.
Yeah, no, that's what I think too. The only question I ever have is Kershaw. This guy is so great, and it's not like
right.
He hasn't pitched rough games where they had to win, and his postseason, it's just not good. Don't get it.
But Tony, I think a lot of that. I think he had massive innings totals in prior years.
Okay,
and he's still the best pitcher of the generation. So now, time on the disabled list. The workload is light. You know, we'll see. And he'll be accountable. You know, he understands that that's part of his legacy. He is a Hall of Fame pitcher already. But you have to complete your legacy, to close the circle. You have to do it in October, and he understands that. So that's on him.
Thank you, Richie. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tony.
Richard Justice of MLB.com, boys and girls. We will take a break. We'll come back with Nigel and news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read. They tell you to talk about your personal experience with Blue Apron, the meal you cooked, the ingredients overall, how it tasted, how it felt cooking it, etc. I do this all the time. I like it.
Yes.
I enjoyed myself. I think you need two people doing it. I don't think one person can do it.
It's a two-man operation.
I think it is, but I think it's fun. You feel like you're a cook.
Yes.
When you do it, you follow the directions. You feel like you're a cook. Michael, you've seen
a chopping machine helps.
Yeah,
like a hand chopper.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff you can do, but I think it's good. It's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. It's flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based on your personal preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs. There's no weekly commitment. You only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. It can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, which is good. You want to do that. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Once again, that is Blue Apron, BLUEAPRON, blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sarah Curtin sends this in. My husband is a dedicated little who enjoys listening to your podcast every morning. We both work from home, so therefore I too am a dedicated little who listens to your podcast every morning. I've heard you call for music since you switched to a podcast format. I hope you enjoy this song. It's called Careless. It's from my album Michigan Lilium, Lilium. Not, I was if it was Michigan Maldonium.
Right. Well, that yes.
I would have injected it.
That was the first album.
Feel free to use it during the show or in its entirety at the end if Nigel has figured out the formatting. I'm a DC native. Oh, a graduate of Janney, Deal and Wilson, and current artist fellow with the DC Commission on the Arts and Humanities. It would mean the world to me to be included on the show. So, Sarah, you are included. Michael, how do people send in their music?
Please email your music to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling anything in particular today?
No, we're really not. I think we've been hitting the shop.tonykornheisershow.com
hard
angle a little bit too hard
so
recently.
So you want me to stop?
I will politely ask you to hold off on a day or two.
Yeah.
Are we selling the marble rye bread online? Are we doing that yet?
No, but you know what we're going to sell soon? Mold. We're going to sell mold.
Official Chicago mold.
You can get this. Yeah, Wilbon
was
giving us Wrigley Field dirt,
right.
And who has ivy, allegedly, from Wrigley Field, which is not from Wrigley Field, can now, I hope today, bring home mold.
Well, you have to wonder if the Wrigley Field dirt isn't sort of like those sonic attacks that the Cuban spies were doing at the embassy down there. Maybe this is a plant from Wilbon to
certainly possible.
Affect you.
By the way, I got, before we get to the news, I got a lovely card of a full moon, and it's Greg in Dallas who writes, "Grandpa saw this and thought of you, a full moon." So that goes up on the wall along with our one ticket to hell.
Yes.
Please admit one.
Yes.
Okay, so what is our news? By the way, what did you look up that gift certificate that we got?
Oh, yes.
What is this?
Okay, so it's a NIFT, N-I-F-T, and you go to...
Do you think it's possible
nifty.
It's nifty?
I think it's pronounced nifty.
Yeah, and you go to it, and it's at nift.me. And then you type in your gift code and your area code,
and
it will tell you which local merchants you can cash this card in with. So there's a lot.
It's more work for
Dad.
So
it's like it's sort of a coupon that works at a bunch of different places.
Right. So you have $30 off to as yet to be determined business here in the local area.
Okay.
And the 200.
Is
maybe get 30 off on Chatter.
Yeah. There you go. I'm not sure if Chatter's participating in it, but there
you
go.
We should.
Exactly.
Because that's the kind of thing nobody would figure out, and you would just sell it,
right.
And you'd make money.
It's a lot of hoops to jump through. Adrian Peterson is on the move. Didn't really work out for him in New Orleans.
He's
on the move slowly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He clearly loathes
Sean
Payton.
I'm not sure what the agreement
Wilbon
was.
Wilbon has taken Adrian Peterson's side in this resolutely. Wilbon hates Sean Payton.
Do you think Sean Payton gave him the news personally or just let somebody else?
No, he didn't, because you don't want to go anywhere near this guy.
So Peterson going to the Arizona Cardinals.
He's going from bad to worse.
Yes.
But Arizona stinks.
But
well, in need of a running back.
Adrian
Peterson, they do, because David Thomas is out.
Adrian Peterson will be the featured back there, and he was certainly not that in New Orleans. So, and that means Chris Johnson, who was with the Cardinals, is going to have to find another job.
CJ2K.
Yeah, he's now been released.
CJ2K. Okay.
And they traded an undisclosed, the Cardinals did an undisclosed 2018 draft pick.
That means
conditional.
It's conditional. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what? It's the marble rye bread you're talking about. That's what you get.
So, yes, I guess these are the other the running backs. Kerwin Williams, Andre Ellington, and
Kerwin Williams.
Eli Penny.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've heard of any of those.
It's Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
By the way, it has always bothered me that people in announcing his games refer to him as AP. No. It's AD.
Yeah,
he was AD for all day.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's AD. You. It's not AP. And right.
Although technically his initials are AP.
I know, but he goes by AD.
Yeah. It's the Associated
saying
Press.
This is someone who used to call his games.
I did. And feared his handshake more than anything else in Monday Night Football.
It's
hand-breaking handshake.
Him and Dexter Manley, right? The two guys that try and break
Dexter
your hands.
Would
but
do that
Dexter too, was lost when he did it. Dexter was lost.
Yeah. There was a great ad that I know you wanted to talk about with Jackie Stewart and for Heineken.
Is anybody in this room, and the people out there, they all look so young. Does anybody remember Jackie Stewart as a race car driver?
Yeah.
And Jackie Stewart used to call the Indy 500. Jim McKay and Jackie Stewart recreated the Indy 500 all the time, and it was great. There's an ad now for Heineken Beer, and Heineken Beer is doing pretty good ads with Benicio Del Toro as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they got Jackie Stewart.
Antonio Banderas.
They go back in time. And they show Jackie Stewart winning races and getting out of the car with his long hair and his hats and stuff like that. And then they cut to today, and you start from the back of Jet. You see Jackie Stewart from the back wearing this fabulous tweed cap, multicolored tweed cap. And a guy approaches him with holding three Heinekens on a small tray. And then they go to Jackie Stewart's face, and he goes, "No thanks, I'm still driving." And he gets into a white Porsche or something and tears down the highway. It's just, if you like Jackie Stewart and remember him, it is a great, great ad.
Yes.
A great ad.
Love
the
Jackie
Heineken
Stewart.
Ads. I think they're good.
Yeah,
I don't drink their beer, but I think they're good ads. Yeah,
they're good ads. Agent Zero is coming back, making a big comeback with former porn star and now social media queen Mia Khalifa. They will be doing
She's local.
Yes, she was born in Montgomery County. Or she lived in Montgomery County, I should say. I don't know if she was born here. But she is a massive DC sports fan and a big fan of yours.
Fantastic.
And a big fan of this show.
Good.
I've actually had some back and forth with her on
Good.
On Twitter. And she's lovely. She's very
funny.
But they're
going to do this show in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So she's not local anymore.
No, she's moved out there, yes.
And apparently the Cheese Boy wrote about this.
That's right.
And apparently her first question was, can we curse on the show?
That was her first question.
And she was assured that they could.
Yes.
And this, of course, reminds me and would remind Matt.
Of PTI?
No, of the Jesus and Pharaoh show that Rideholm is doing on Viceland.
Viceland, yes.
There is now, and I'm too old for this, there is now an alternate media that's out there that features things quite like this. And they get a lot of people to watch.
Yeah, they have some sort of a limit on how many...
Nine times you can curse.
You can drop.
So let's get them in the first 10 seconds.
The producers of the different segments negotiate. Hold, really? No, I need two in my segment. Can you bleep out two more in your segment?
But you can say it. It's just bleeped out.
You can say a certain amount, and then after that has to be bleeped out.
So this is this, do you think that the Khalifa Arena show, that's all it's going to be? Is screaming and cursing and doing whatever you...
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be a lot
and it's
of that.
And a lot of kids will find it and like it.
Yeah, Complex.
Yeah, it's Complex News' YouTube channel.
What does that mean?
So this isn't on actual television.
Oh, what is
it on? Jesus and Mero were on Complex before they were on Viceland.
Yeah, this is going
to be on. What's it on?
Going to be on YouTube.
Television in your head or television in your hand?
Not
what
so
is
much
it?
In your head as on a computer.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it for you. It's called The YouTube.
Okay, so it's... But they're going to do a daily show.
Well,
they'll presumably get paid a lot of money.
Monday through Thursday.
That's the schedule, right?
The show,
there.
Yeah, Monday through Thursday. So you've got to talk to somebody about that.
Oh, I'd like that.
It's called Out of Bounds, and they say it will personify the rawness of social media commentary in an authentic way.
Rawness. So they're just going to dump on everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Good word choice with arenas.
Yeah, right, dump.
There you go.
What else you got?
Mr. Tony. You've got some disposable income.
I do.
Don't you?
A little bit.
How about
not as much as
it goes to my children and,
yeah, let's
and
protect that cash.
Do you have $105,129 to spare?
Why would I need that?
If you like to spend that money in May of 2018, you can go on an expedition, which could be one of the last expeditions, to go underwater to see the Titanic.
I don't want to do that.
Is that something you want to do?
No.
This is actually, by the way, that dollar amount.
Why would that be one of the last ones? The Titanic going anywhere?
Well, they say that there's bacteria at the bottom of the ocean.
Mold?
That's the mold.
Chicago mold destroying it?
Chicago
Why
mold.
Don't we put together a feature show, Chicago Mold. We have a couple, bunch of doctors,
yeah,
bunch of doctors
like
come out,
see.
And
right.
Strasburg's wheeled out on a gurney, and they go, my God, he's got the Chicago Mold.
Chicago Mold, just put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
They say that within 15 to 20 years, it will all be gone. The entire Titanic will just be dissolved.
The bacteria's just eating it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Wow.
So, and that price corresponds to the price of a first-class ticket back in 1912, which was $4,350. So there you go.
So I saw something last night. I saw something on CNN. It was like a 15-minute story on this pristine bay in Alaska where most of the sockeye salmon in the world is spawned.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy wants to put a mine in it, which will, of course, regardless of what he says, utterly destroy everything about this. And apparently... the current administration,
sure,
Secretary of Interior, is ready to go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Let's send in the caterpillars.
Let's go.
Let's go dig it up.
Maybe
get
a casino up there, too.
Oh, now you're
talking. What's more important? I mean, I think that the salmon is actually more important than the gold that they would mine. I just think it is. Because you can't eat the gold.
No.
And if you use the gold to buy the salmon and there are no salmon, it doesn't matter how much gold there is.
But mine has a ring to it versus yours. So I'm all for more mine.
Right.
You know?
That's a bad idea.
It probably is.
Parents of the Year candidates. This is in West Jordan, Utah, where there's some fun stuff to do, including going into the crazy corn maze. Now, I want you to think of
Everybody does that.
I think you want to think of The Shining. You know, it's like this maze we walk around.
Well,
you know.
It's hedges, but
These two parents, it is hedges and not corn. This is straw, I believe. Or maybe it's corn. I'm not sure. Oh, I guess it's corn because it's called the crazy corn
this
maze.
This is terrible. You're doing a terrible job on this.
I didn't mean to derail
It's simply terrible.
Well, I can't deal with the commentary from Gary, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, Cronkite never had to deal with this stuff. So the parents
Nobody
go in there.
Nobody gets hung up. I think it's corn. It might not be corn. It could be.
Well, no, I'm looking at it in the video, and it appears to be straw, so it's confusing.
Okay.
Just get to the lost
There's
kid
There's a maze.
Already.
They'll go in there with a three-year-old son.
And leave him.
And they left him
they
there.
They leave him. Say, find your way home, and you get a...
And very similar to the lad that was left in the cave from the other spelunkers.
Oh, no. Parents can't. parents can't leave their child.
Did not realize.
You better not leave Bootsy in a maze.
You're going to want to.
No, I learned from the best, Dad. Thanks.
There was a pony ride at this, by the way. So I think they love that. They did not realize he was missing until the next morning.
Oh, what? That's terrible. Whoa.
It's a quiet night
at home. How many kids?
They called the police Tuesday morning and said, We think
we left our kid in a maze.
He might be in the corn maze. Oh, yeah.
God, how high were they?
Wait, yeah. I hope they've been arrested.
The child has been taken into protective custody.
This is not like the spelunking where there's a bunch of teenagers,
yes,
and okay, you leave one behind.
Yes.
Because you're not invested in it in the same way. This is your kid.
Yes.
Do they have other children?
It does not say in this story, and police are investigating.
Everybody has wanted to do this. No one does this. No one does this.
No, they don't. What else? Something that people have never done. We've all made stupid bets with a sporting contest. And a man in Florida made a bet with his girlfriend over the Cowboys-Packers fit.
Okay. Oh, and he has to be eaten by an alligator?
No, they said whoever loses this game has to burn their jersey. Now, the guy was a Cowboys fan. She was a Packers fan. We know what happened with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he was great.
So the 27-year-old man then went outside and put the jersey on fire, and then for some inexplicable reason decided to put the jersey on whilst it was on fire.
Okay. Well, he's an imbecile.
So a witness told...
He's as Aroldis Chapman would like, he's a complete imbecile.
He was set on fire after losing that. Skin was hanging off his arm and back. He suffered third-degree burns on his right arm. As they rushed him to the hospital, he reportedly told police that he was drunk.
Really? An amazing circumstance.
Before you know these graphs, you guys should know how
to I do have one more Florida story I'd like to share with you. A man in Lehigh Acres, Florida, as he was
Florida
driving...
Man Wednesday.
Yeah, was driving along, and he approached a canal. Well, the bridge was out. It was about a 20-foot gap between, you know, over to get to the next side.
Well,
he got out of the car, looked at... Judge
and
the
said, I can make it.
Oh,
I can leap it. I can leap it. It's right. It's the Dukes of Hazzard. I can do it.
Exactly.
You're an idiot.
Didn't quite make it. Car is completely totaled.
Of course.
However, no charges filed whatsoever.
Well.
So apparently in Florida, if you want to do that, you can get away with it.
Can't legislate stupid.
People think that the car's going to take off. It's not. It's not how it works.
No.
All right, we will get out of here. We will come back with Old Guy Radio.
Did I redeem myself?
Yes, that was good. Well, after a while. Old Guy Radio, in which we will concentrate on a couple of things, one being Matt Kelleher's recent dalliance, his episode with fame with Bob Woodward. We will talk about that when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad, and it says the sports genre. And it asks you to describe what it's like to sleep on the Casper mattress. My dog sleeps great.
Right.
We got the dog bed. Chessie loves the dog bed. Dogs don't sleep in one spot all night. No dog does that. But Chessie sleeps a majority of her sleep on the Casper mattress. And it says, discuss how a comfortable mattress is critical to performance. My dog can play chopsticks now on the piano because she has slept on a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress has over 30,000 global reviews. Joseph G. from Colorado said, as a former athlete, sleep and comfort is key to performance, and Casper does that now for my life and my wife, unquote. Dozens of pro basketball, baseball, and football players sleep on Casper and rave about it. Skip the typical mattress shopping game. Buying the Casper is easy. You order online. It's delivered to your door in a compact box. Yeah, you open it and the air and it just puffs out. It's great. It's free shipping and free returns. It's available in the United States, Canada, and now the United Kingdom. Don't sit out on the sidelines. Try the Casper for 100 nights in your own home. And it's a special offer to listeners of this particular show. It doesn't say my show. It says listeners to your show. Well, if you have a show, maybe this would pertain to you. But this is mine. It's the Tony Kornheiser podcast. You get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony and using Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Many people will not know this song. This is Janis Ian, who arrived on the scene in the 60s at 16 or 17 years old and wrote this beautiful, beautiful song at 17. And we are playing this song. Nigel has an interesting commentary on this.
Yes, this is the anniversary of the first episode of Saturday Night Live.
Which is 48 years ago, right?
Yeah, 1975, October 11th, 1975.
Well, that's different. Then that's 52 years ago.
1975 is not 52 years ago.
42 years ago. Gary.
Do you guys need me here?
Yeah, no, Gary, help us with math. Yeah,
55 would be 62 years ago.
There you go. So I think we cleared that
up. When was it?
It was October 11th, 1975.
Okay, so that's 42 years ago.
Right, not 52. Not 62.
42 years
ago. But 55 would be 62 years ago. That's what I said.
Okay, there you go.
I was right again.
So she was one of the first musical guests. She and Billy Preston.
I thought Paul Simon was the first musical guest.
He was on the next episode, and he and Art Garfunkel performed. It's an interesting format that they had when they started that, because the first episode, they had a couple musical guests, and then they played a number of songs, Simon and Garfunkel, in the next episode.
Because you know why? Because they're great.
Right.
Yes. That's
so,
why.
So this is the anniversary of that.
Genesee, and it's a lovely, lovely.
And apparently
tune.
She was having a difficult time getting airplay for this, because it was a long single. It was about 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
And she was doing all these daytime talk shows, and then finally got on The Tonight Show, and they let her play it there, and that's when the hit really blew up. And this was from 1973.
She had a couple of hits. She had that one hit about white girl, black guy, boyfriend situation, meet the parents. It's a very famous song, the name of which escapes me now. Do you have her oeuvre in there?
Society's Child.
Yes, that's it. Society's Child. There it's a go. Really, really moving song. That was great at the time. All right, so those of you who listen to this show regularly know that Wilbon and I got this Dopey Award last Wednesday, and we were thrilled to get it, and I've seen the pictures, and I'm so old. I don't realize how old I am till I look at myself in the pictures, and it's very, very depressing. And so I'm going to order a few of these pictures and have them buried with me, like King Tut,
sure.
Something like that.
Burn
Michael,
them like a Cowboys
just
jersey.
Put them in the coffin, because they're just, I'm much too old.
Time capsule.
I felt that the highlight of the entire affair, we had four people introduce us, all were great, Maury Povich, Don Graham, John Skipper, and Bob Woodward. And Bob Woodward involved Matt Kelleher in the filming of an All the President's Men deep throat send-up. I mean, I could say nothing other than Bob Woodward not only made fun of us, but graciously made fun of himself. Yeah. And it was, for me, the total highlight, and you're involved in it.
Yeah, so last Wednesday was the event. Probably the Wednesday before, my phone rang at work, and it said Washington Post / Woodward.
Which is not a phone call you expect to get unless you're involved in Watergate.
That's right.
So what did you know and when did you know?
Most people
pretty
that
good
would,
that,
would scare
that wasn't
them.
What the call was, but I had no idea. And I picked it up, and he said he had spoken to Tony, and he was looking
this
to do...
This is Bob Woodward.
Yeah,
that's our talk.
Yes,
yeah.
Matt. He goes through this whole thing. This is what I want to do. I want you guys to put together.
I want you to
he
do it.
He said to me, actually, you must have hours and hours of Tony and Mike making stupid predictions on hand. And I said, while there probably are hours and hours of such predictions.
They're not filed.
Yeah, we don't have them filed. But so anyway, we put together.
Although you could have waited till yesterday when I said, how many times are you going to ask me this question about Trinidad and Tobago?
Idiot prediction file. You can start it.
We're going to start it now. And so anyway, so we put together this tape for him. And then he said, I want you to come to my house and, you know, put on a jacket and tie. And we're going to do this thing. You're going to be deep interruption.
When were you born?
I was born in 1973.
So that's right around the time of Watergate. Yep. So, and I know you know Woodward as
I don't remember much of it as
a you know him as a historical figure, but you could never have imagined that you would be.
No, not in a million years. And so I found myself watching.
Because you didn't ride the pony like Michael did.
That's so, right. That's
or that collect the Easter eggs.
At the Easter
so did he? Were you bringing crew to this, or did he just.
So Chris Gavin, who works with us at PTI and Around the Horn, he has a camera. He brought it, he borrowed some stuff from ABC. We went over there. We went
borrowed,
to his house,
air quotes,
and he had talked about going to a local parking garage, and as I was driving over, I was looking. There's this social Safeway that's there, Avenue, and some places where he lives, and there's no unlit parking garages anymore. So I was thinking, all these parking garages are totally lit. It's not going to work. So anyway, he had the idea that we do it in his garage.
That's fantastic.
Which is great, and we went in there, and then he made a joke in the video about how it was actually Wilbon's garage. And we had edited this out, but at one point he says, and it's so sweet to be exposing them and right under their nose. Wilbon's in his house probably counting his money. And we're out here in the garage. And that didn't make the final cut just because of some of the
things. And you are shown from the side?
Yeah, I'm shown sort of supposedly, right. You know.
Half silhouetted
but
or something.
It was, he had to use a light to read the questions he was asking me. And so occasionally it just shined it on my face by accident. So it wasn't that. If it had been the actual hidden witness situation, it wouldn't have been so good. But he had a bunch of questions for me, and he said to me, I'll just ask you some questions, and you can just ad-lib.
Ad-lib?
Yeah, that's what you do.
Ad-lib.
It's like a Woody Allen movie.
I said,
you good with shtick.
Okay.
It's curb your enthusiasm.
As you might imagine.
Loose outline. Yeah. From there.
He had a file, pages of things about Tony.
So he knew how to prepare this Woodward guy?
Yeah, exactly. And then with Wilbon, he's like, you know, I couldn't really find anything, so I'm just going to make some stuff up about him, and we'll just go with it. Okay, so then we went in his garage. We set the whole thing up. We shut the door. He seemed sort of unfamiliar with the contents of his garage, I must say. But, yeah, it was just terrific fun.
That's cool.
That's thrilling.
Yeah.
It's thrilling. If you had been older, honestly, if you'd been my age and you were involved in this, you'd be... It would be the highlight of your life.
Yeah.
You'd think it was just so fabulous.
Yeah, and everybody really liked it, which was great.
It was great.
When it came up, I was very nervous. It's funny. I felt like, oh, no. Like, I don't perform. I personally don't perform in that way.
Yeah, anyone listening can tell.
Yeah. And so when it was about to get played, you don't know how it's going to play in the room, but everybody liked it. So
it was the beginning with the typewriter, all the knuckleheads men.
It's great.
Chris did a lot of that. Chris Gavin did a lot of the editing. He went and got the clips from the movie. Actually, Bob said to us, you know, I called either the producer or the director of the movie, and he assured me, we can use the clips. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my God.
So one of the nicest things of the entire dinner, because the dinner is, it's giving us an award, but at least a couple of people went up there and talked about Matt and Eric and all the PTI people, because the only reason we're getting that award is that it has nothing to do with what we ever wrote. It's that we have this longevity that now has morphed into television, and that's the only reason we're getting that. So everybody, you know, everybody was appreciative of the PTI people. In the sport. Oh, by the way, there's an update on my destination assist. I made a couple of more calls yesterday. I got a live body. I now have destination assist.
I thought you were
going
to get the charge reversed, and because Aldridge showed you how to do it with the phone.
I still don't know how to do that.
Okay.
The Google Maps thing on my phone, I need Michael to show me how to.
Maybe someone cares.
Because I'm going to have to type something in, right? I have to type something in.
And then you probably have speech to text, so you could just hit a button and say, take me to PTI.
Why don't.
Boom.
Yeah, but I have to. It's where do I go from PTI? I had to get to the Army Navy Golf
Course. You could say directions to Army Navy Golf Course. Boom. It knocks.
Is that how easy it works?
Yeah. Yes. I still think for your car, you have a built in navigation system before you put the car in drive, you just go to points of interest in all of the locations. You're going to golf clubs. You basically will just scroll down the alphabet and find the club that you're going to, and then it'll be in your recently found locations, and then you can just enter it while you're driving.
And the lady will talk to me?
Yes.
Turn by turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anita
might not be a lady.
Is what I call her. Anita Directions. Look at this.
We're not on video today.
Well, that's all right.
So
directions to Army 8. Navy Golf Course.
Well, yeah. Did you pay special for that
Army
button?
Navy Country Club is 34 minutes from your location.
You didn't pay for that special?
No, it comes with.
How do you? Okay, so somebody.
You know,
so today I'll get somebody to show me how to do that.
But you're covered.
Somebody young. By young, I mean under 50.
Right.
Do you remember when someone made you download Waze?
Yes,
because you're going on a four-hour golf trip.
Now that's
a bad
idea.
When you showed up to the club, your phone had 5% battery.
Yes, I had no batteries. I had no batteries. The Waze sucked out all the energy from my phone, and I hated it. I'll never use it again. Okay, so the one big story in sports that we talked about yesterday on PTI and that we should talk about here is the Roger Goodell letter to all the team owners in the NFL, in which he basically says, he doesn't basically say, he says this, it says that, well, he basically says we're being overrun by this. We need a better response. We need a uniform response to this. This is threatening the league. He puts in stuff how it's threatening the players, but it's not. He doesn't care about the players. This is threatening the league. He feels now, finally, and he should, that this is threatening them economically in some way, because people will turn away from the league if the majority of Americans are disgusted with this behavior. So he has a meeting planned for this coming week in New York, and I just wondered what people here think of this, because I thought what I said yesterday was it is about time that he did this, and this was a direct response to Jerry Jones. Because now what you're seeing, I don't think Roger Goodell to this moment understands how big a deal this is. But he does understand that they do not, they have Jerry Jones going one way, they got the Miami Dolphins going another way, they got the Washington Redskins going, they got no uniform response.
Well, there's another factor, and that's that you also, I didn't think this was a coincidence that this came in the wake of President Trump saber-rattling
yes.
about their tax treatment.
Yes.
So, and it's interesting you say that, because maybe up until this point, he hasn't understood the gravity or what's at stake, but I certainly think that letter was an acknowledgement of it. It's like, we're going to, you know, you
yes.
don't want to break the golden goose.
Yes.
I just don't know if that's the way to go, because I just don't sense that you're going to be able to step on the throat of that workforce. I mean, I think trying to do this is just going to... Well, in some cases, I think it will just sort of increase the resolve and the resistance that you get from some. I mean, you can't paint with a broad brush. Some of these guys consider themselves activists. Some of them don't care at all. I mean,
some of them are feeling tremendous pressure to side with the people who are kneeling. There's
yes.
tremendous social pressure on black players that it does not exist for white players at the
moment. Some of them are feeling pressure, but some of them believe very firmly in
Absolutely.
Their heart of hearts that it is the right thing to do. And I don't
yes.
think you're going to be able to mandate it out. I mean, I think you're going to, you know, it's going to come to loggerheads and there'll be issues.
See, I think this was, I believe the impetus for this, while Goodell has been talking to players, is the other owner said, we need some help here. We can't have 32 plans. And frankly, I don't know what my plan should be. I don't have the conviction of Jerry Jones. Get together, figure it out, tell me what to do so I can just keep making money and not really pay a lot of attention to this. So I think the owners went to Goodell and said, figure this out, and this is why we're having a meeting, and they have a plan.
Don't you think that they would be wise to include the players
and
in
they
deciding
have.
What
And
that
they have.
Is.
They had a meeting about a month ago.
I think they're
going
to reach out to players
meeting.
Because they don't know what's going
they
on.
They better.
Yeah, they're so. I said yesterday on the show, step one is put Colin Kaepernick on a team somewhere.
Right.
Get him on a team.
Years ago, when the player discipline issue was a huge thing in the NFL, the sort of last meeting before Goodell started coming down with this really heavy-handed discipline was with players. And a group of player representatives said to him, hey, we want you to do this. The image of the league is not looking good. We want you to step in and start disciplining guys, and that will make the sort of group, the 1,500 NFL players, and that's about what it is, maybe more than that, will sort of help send the message that we need to sort of clean this up. So they have included the players before, but the time between that meeting that I'm talking about and today, there's been a lot of animosity between
and
the
players
have
said, more than one player has said, I don't trust Roger Goodell.
Absolutely.
I hate Roger Goodell.
Yes.
I wouldn't do anything for Roger Goodell. Michael, you're younger. Do you have a different look at this thing?
I don't. I need a little bit more time to try and dissect it.
Because I think that Sally Jenkins wrote a column about this in the Washington Post today in which she said, nobody really knows what this is now. Nobody really knows. Everybody is pretty sure what they might do individually, but nobody knows where it's going.
Well, and it's totally organic.
It's going of its own pace, and
right.
nobody knows. And I agree with you, Gary, that to mandate something is a mistake.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you have to have players involved in it, and I don't think it's too many players. You're not going to get unanimity.
Right.
It's too many players.
And you paint them into a corner where they're going to be forced to choose, and if they choose against you, then that's going to create more problems.
Yeah,
players
have
more power than they think.
With the example of player conduct, you know, there was no support for players on the other side of that saying,
right.
what do you mean?
That's
Leave
right.
us alone.
That's
you know,
right.
So we're getting hammered and driving. So we're beating our girlfriends. Who cares? I mean, there was no support
That's right.
for that level. On this
That's
side,
right.
there's two pretty distinct sides to this issue.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to settle it today, so we're going to move on.
Can I just say something unrelated? I meant to ask you guys this off air, so I don't mean to ambush you, but you talked about the players' thoughts on Roger Goodell. Someone I saw a video of last night who was laudatory of Roger Goodell was Josh Gordon. Did you see this video?
No.
He's trying to get back in the league.
So Josh Gordon took
right.
three. He's in an in-treatment facility, former Cleveland Browns, multi-suspension
Probably more more behavioral suspensions than anybody
ever.
Yeah,
probably.
Also a guy who had...
But still has played more games than Joel Embiid.
Yeah, like in his first 2 years had like 2,400 yards and 20 touchdowns. Just ridiculous numbers. So he's been about 70 days in a in-treatment facility. About 70 days through a 110-day program, I think. And took like 3 days off and had his first workouts in those 70 days. And had, I mean, obviously a PR deal, but had like video crews with him and gave extensive...
Working with Michael Johnson, the world record holder at one point in the 200 meters
right,
and 400
and
meters.
Was working with, is it Montgomery, the Olympic trainer? I want to say maybe Tim Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And gave these, I mean, I was really impressed with him. I was interested in your reaction. I'm sure you'll see this today. It came out late last night. But it was like a 13-minute... I mean, it's a produced video. It was obviously multiple interviews they conducted with him.
You root for anybody who's a drug addict.
And did you hear what he said about Baylor?
Yes. Yes, he said that in the...
He said at Baylor they would...
Oh, he was Baylor?
Went to Baylor, and I don't remember if it was coaches or people involved in the program.
After he failed his first drug test, the coaches came to him and said, look, this is how it's going to go, all right? And this is when you're going to get tested, and here's a detox drink that we want you to drink before the test. He said the subsequent test I failed was because the coach didn't get me my detox drink in time.
How does Baylor still have any athletics whatsoever?
I would commend this video to you. I'm trying to think of what it was called, but if you just Google Josh Gordon video, I mean, it was really interesting and just comes off as actually a very sharp and affable guy who is ready to turn it around. You hope it's right. I mean, we've all been burned before, but you hope he's right.
All right, we come back with email and jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Now, if you have a podcast on from Monday to Friday, just sum it up this phrase, and you can talk and talk all day. Justice Kirch and Boz and Wilbon, they might say it too. Scherzer should have pitched game one and Strasburg pitched game two. Oh, Scherzer should have pitched game one and Strasburg pitched game two. Tony says it every day until he turns blue. If he says it loud enough, then maybe it will be true. Scherzer should have pitched game one and Strasburg pitched game two. The Nats should hire Mr. Tony to set pitching rotations. Look how well he runs the schedule of his podcast station. I mean, it's not like they're interrupted by some loud machine. Scherzer should have pitched game one and starts for pitch game two. Scherzer should have pitched game one and starts for pitch game two. Please don't tell me repeat it, please don't somehow make it true. Scherzer should have pitched game one and starts for pitch game two.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
The vocals are Jason Fuse and Kirsten Ohnstadt.
Wow,
the lyrics
twister.
Are Jason Fuse and Bill Bardo. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah.
Game four.
Fantastic.
You have to smile listening to that.
Before we get in, and by the way, Scherzer should have pitched game.
Strasburg pitched game two.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Richard Justice of MLB.com for coming on the show today. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Blue Apron, Indochino, and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Does anybody leave us a review ever?
Yes. Our reviews are growing.
I saw
we still have five stars.
Saw something about Saluza being douchey in one of them.
I went in there, it was better than cats, so I'd see it again and again and again.
Better than cats.
Better than cats.
A haiku from Chad. Maybe he is sick, or maybe it's the orchid being the orchid. From Jason Morris in San Juan Capistrano in California. Like I said, this is a Dusty Baker quote, supposedly. Like I said, he's allergic to autumn, especially early autumn. Sadly, the young man's body was never given an opportunity to develop an immunity to seasonal weather changes, so we're on to spring training. Alex Lau in New York City. Dusty Baker said he won't start Strasburg in Game 4 because Strasburg is under the weather. Could Dusty have put it any better? Yeah, he's under the weather. Under the 60-degree and rainy weather. We all know orchids can't go out in that. Three words, sunny and 75.
Yeah.
From Joe Farrell in Olney, Maryland, who gets to the heart of it, look at the bright side. Solis and Ollie are now rested.
This is true.
You want Ollie out there? Ollie threw the pitch to Rizzo. How did that ball not get caught?
Yeah.
How did that not get caught?
How did no one end up on the
ground?
This
is a long one. This is interesting. From Steve Silberman in St. Augustine, Florida. A few weeks ago, a little sent you photos of an orange sport coat he said he was contemplating purchasing. I believe that the price was roughly $25. And then he says, feast your eyes, except he says, feats your eyes, instead of feast your eyes. Feast your eyes on the attached photo of my dapper orange sport coat. made of a blend of wool and cotton, and the price of mine, $0. How, you ask? I didn't find this on a discount rack and have a coupon. Oh no, I won it. I and three friends were awarded these fine jackets after winning a company tournament at Saratoga National. And tell Michael it's a Roger Rulewicz design. Do you know that designer?
I'm familiar with his work, but I'm looking it up.
When I wear it, typically with dark pants and a white shirt, I either look like I'm hosting a game show or I just won the Dutch Masters. Either way, I always get noticeable glances. Two other comments for the female MeUndies ad, forget Rieger. Marv Albert read it. Finally, when did Trey Turner become Danny Espinosa? He is killing the Nats. He is.
What happened to him?
Lean in.
He's 0-for-12.
Game-changing speed.
Get on first base. Right. Bunt the ball. From Cody Workala in Portland, Oregon. To quote David, the Nats should choke up and hit the ball to right field. It's not difficult. Not difficult? I think Jason Worth would disagree. What did Jason Worth say?
Hardest thing in the universe. Yeah.
Was it the universe or the galaxy?
Galaxy.
I think it was the galaxy, which he's proving to be right because he can't hit it. He's got one hit in this series. They all have one hit.
Yeah.
They got one hit.
It's not good. Not a recipe for victory.
Jason Worth's being dropped in the order a little bit. Being raised. He's going up to two.
Yeah, he's going up to two.
Get more at-bats so he can strike out.
What?
It will strike out earlier in the order, though.
So. Right.
Why was he still in when Rizzo's ball dropped?
Yeah, because he's not exactly fleet of foot.
It's like Bill Buckner still in the game.
Don't know. From Paul Hahn, Georgetown Prep, class of 2002. You need to shed more light on why old man Wilbon does not let Lilbon play duck, duck, goose in the household. As Jim Harbaugh would say, what's your deal? What did you think of that?
It's amazing. He wouldn't let him take a bath, though. When he was little, either.
They won't let him play duck, duck, goose.
No, he said your inheritance is gone if you play duck,
if you
duck,
play
goose.
Duck, duck, goose. He has made it specifically about duck, duck, goose.
Said he could play poker.
God only knows.
Poker.
From Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia, is it possible that Saliza could drink his giant mug of tea next to the leaf blower? You were upset.
Still upset.
Nah, uncool.
It's all good.
Tony Schmidt totally in Belleville, Wisconsin. I work in a high school, and our librarian sets up little displays of books to try to spark interest of kids. Well, I walked by and I saw Last Shot, a Final Four mystery, sitting there. I stopped dead in my tracks, snapped the attached photo, which we don't have, and exclaimed, Junior! I then told one of the kids seated at a nearby table that the author of the book keeps his clothes in the wheel well of a car. The kid looked at me like I was a lunatic.
Pants.
Just the time.
Spike just read
Final
Four.
No, it was just the time.
Four.
The sport jacket. The sport jacket. You're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always. Do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them? They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Oh, my.
Your body's warm as I try to help you feel yourself. Just leave your keys on top of the refrigerator. Cold hands, warm hearts, ain't nothing to be afraid of. I see.
Sharpen gaze, sharpen eye.